Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did you know I've had my podcast for 15 years? Do you know that it is the most downloaded sports podcast of all time? Did you know I have guests from the sports world, from the culture world, people who work for The Ringer, people outside The Ringer, celebrities, experts, you name it. It's on my podcast 3 times a week, late Sunday night, late Tuesday night, late Thursday night, the Bill Simmons podcast. Check it out on Spotify. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Now do this. Now do this.
These
that
feel.
Sounds like the worst job in the world.
You know how we feel. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Righty's House on Ringer SEO. If you're staying safe and well, we swapped with Stadio. So you've got us earlier this week, and we're going to be talking about both the women's and the men's FA Cup finals, plus a little bit about the Premier League. And my guests are Musa Kwanga, Jeanette Kwashi, and Florence Lloyd-Hughes.
Florence, that's what we're going to call her.
Yeah. Yes,
Florence.
Yeah. Florence, because that's what she when she was younger, yeah. And mum used to say, look at little Florence.
Literally.
And now I'm seeing her karaoke. Karaoke and little Florence, man.
Amazing.
Flo,
Ryan starred in the karaoke,
Ryan,
actually.
Man, Jolene,
he's keeping it quiet, but he did sing Jolene. He did well. Him and Jonathan Liu from The Guardian, brilliant duet.
Jolene's is a banger, you know. That is a proper
Jolene,
karaoke
Dolly Parton,
tune.
Come on.
Good choice.
Yeah.
You can't not want to sing along because everybody wants to try and sing like Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's this? All the football elites were out doing karaoke. Is that right?
It seems like that's what's
happening.
Yeah. Some of us at home working hard in analysis and other people out gallivanting.
Yeah, man. Proper. Wow. And that's what you lot are doing, singing up Jolene. And you think about Jolene, how she came along. Dolly Parton had to sing a track about a woman who's coming to take someone's man
please
and just
stop,
said, please stop. Imagine.
Please. Oh my God. And Jolene is just gangsta. I'm business. I'm
Jolene
coming.
Was like, I'm going to take it all.
Jolene said, I'm taking
Dolly Parton says, she's not asking her. I'm begging for you, please don't take my back. She can't stop her.
Please.
Oh God.
Jolene's a bad bee, man. Oh my God.
Doing the most.
Can I just say, what a great cup final, the women's final. Unbelievable game. I really feel pleased and proud to be involved with the women's game, and I just always want them to play and show what they're about. And that game with City and Chelsea yesterday was fantastic. And City have got to are very unlucky in that game, but they're dealing with a Chelsea side with a manager that is just, that's elite in what she's doing. Elite in what she's doing, and I'll go into her a little bit more later, but I thought that City were very unlucky, but Chelsea, they've got the tools, man.
Every time they're on the pitch, you have such a confidence in that team that they know that they're what they're about, their shape, their movement, everything. Emma, like you said, Ian, Emma on the sidelines, in the rain, her hair, it just looked like a movie. You know when you're going into battle and you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is a massive moment for them. And for them to be able to do it again, it's just, they're the best team.
They're machines.
Yeah.
They're that team. You don't know if you're ever going to beat them, because City, I know that it's been a tough City. They started out, all the injuries, everything was happened. For them to get to the cup final, they must have thought, yeah, it's our time. We've been through a lot of tribulation this season and we've got through it. But then you come up against Chelsea, even when they're bad, all of a sudden, bam, Sam Kerr will still nick two goals. Aaron Cuthbert, bam, out of the blue, will score that goal. You know, even Lauren Hemp was causing so much problems.
Yeah, it was mad.
On Chelsea, it was so impressive because City, to me, had the most devastating attack in the WSL. Mm. Like, the amount of attacking tools is off the scale. Chloe Kelly, Lauren Hemp, Hedy Rasso, like, coming in and scoring a goal like that, one of the best goals you'll see in a cup final at that time. But the resilience of Chelsea, the resilience, the game management to bring a player on, Jisoo Yeon, to like slow it down, and then you take them off
that
again, and like all of that.
In her last game, she's retired.
The decision making. She leaves.
The understanding of that, yeah.
And the ruthlessness, because I remember I speak about with Arsene Wenger at the FA Cup final, which would have been my last game for Arsenal against Newcastle. And at the time, because Wenger, he knew, because remember I told you the story, he knew that he was going on. I didn't know at that time. So he could have easily given me 5-10 minutes with 2-0 up. But he was so into the game, so into what we need to do right now. The roof just takes over everything. And that is, for Emma probably, it's only once it's finished and the game's over. G, she was so disappointed. You could see she was disappointed when she was coming off. And I believe that Emma doesn't even realize at the time what's happening in respect of that's it and she's retiring and she's going back home.
Yeah,
as a manager, she is so focused on what needs to be happening.
Yeah.
The thing that I was impressed about bringing on GC on was about just changing the tempo of the game for Chelsea. And one thing I want to talk about just very quickly, I don't like to normally do this and criticise management of a game because I respect the official so much. I really felt like the ref was a bit too light on yellow cards early on. And I was concerned.
Don't even get me started.
I was concerned because about...
It was bad. It was bad.
Does that make sense, Flo? Because by the first yellow, I was like, City should probably have four already. And the thing I worry about...
There have been some... I think Eric Cuthbert could have had a yellow as well for that challenge on Bonnie Shaw.
Yes, absolutely. It wasn't just City doing it. The fear I have with these challenges is they escalate. And I get it. The ref wanted to keep the game going, keep it friendly and like just keep it. But I think if you don't sort of set the tone early, you could see actually some of the fouls were escalating and people were being a bit lazier. So they were going from like mistimed fouls to becoming actually like, these are bad fouls. Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you start pushing the boundaries. When you can see that the ref is not really on it like that, you think to yourself, okay, what else can I get away with here? It becomes riskier. I could see that definitely yesterday as well. You're right, actually. Now you make the point for sure.
And I felt like after Shaw was brought down by Cuthbert, then she did like a revenge challenge on Ericsson.
Yeah.
And like you say, it was almost like escalating. It was like tit for tat, like, oh, now I'm going to go in really high and late on you. And then Alana Kennedy finally gets a yellow just before Chelsea scores. So that free kick then eventually leads to Bright crossing in. And I was like, okay, now the ref needs to get a hold of this game because we've had our first yellow. And I think the second half was a little bit better. It was a bit less brutal. But that first half was really like people were getting...
And to her credit, she did clock it. I think it's one of those ones where she was trying, because she knows these teams are so tightly matched, right? You saw the Conti Cup final again, you saw that big comeback and they're very abrasive. So it's almost like it's a tough one because you can let the yellow cards run away with themselves because the players don't let up. But I think, you know, to her credit, she really just put a handle on it after that point. After the first yellow, I think it really changed in terms of the quality. What I want to say very quickly as well in terms of City was just the mobility of that front six is as impressive at certain points as I've seen in a long time. That front six was so fluid.
And it sets the tone for next season as well, actually. We speak about how City have had like quite a tough season. They've got to this point now and you can see for next season now, if they're all fit and all good to go, Flo, they're gonna really challenge for next season.
Yeah. I'm getting excited for the Euros though. Like, and I just need to like contain my excitement because being at Wembley yesterday for the cup final just made me feel like, imagine if England get to the final of the Euros.
It would be amazing.
Oh my God.
It would be amazing. What was the atmosphere like yesterday, though? Was it good for the final?
It was good, you know. Record crowd, over 49,000. And I wasn't sure they were going to get there because the FA put out a message on the Friday, I think it was. The FA said could have had 55,000 and they ended up with over 49,000, which was good considering it was chucking it down all day.
Yeah.
Why wasn't there VAR?
I don't know. it would have been probably more helpful, especially to the referee, we're talking about refereeing, if she had a VAR, yes, because it was a game that deserved it.
Yeah, you need that quality.
Can I just say about Bunny Shaw as well? In instances, I saw an unstoppable force.
She is.
In her. My gosh, she was amazing. She'd done a turn, I think it might have been the first half, on the halfway line where the defender got too tight. They just didn't want her to get it. Mm. When she turned, she just went, man.
She goes for it.
She just went.
She did that one as well where she took it past Jess Carter and actually gave Jess Carter cramp.
She took it past her and then
played the ball back to the top of the box, and I think it was Stanway or someone like couldn't get a shot away, and then Jess Carter went down with cramp after Shaw took a pass, and I was wow, you're that good with your turn of pace that you're causing players
to cramp.
They've
got to unleash her next season. She's got to be the one. They've got Ellen White, and Ellen White, with what she's done, you know, can't ignore it, but you can't continue to be bringing her in. You've got to put her in and go, bam, go and do it now. Commit to Bunny Shaw. She's the future. Let her do it, because what you saw yesterday against Chelsea side, arguably, they're the best in respect of this league and in this country. She was hurting them. And what's got to happen is they've got to make sure that they do more to channel it to her, so she can attribute her strength, her pace, her finishing ability, everything what she's got capable of. They've got to now let her go. Let it happen.
It was a proper game, man. Do you know, I was sat there, I watched it with my mum and dad and the kids. And it's funny because in 1998, I got my dad and my brother tickets for the Women's FA Cup final. Yeah, I think it was Upton Park. I can't remember where it was. I mean, 97 or 98, it was at Upton Park. And my dad sat there and he's like, wow. The game, like, the way it's moved on. I said, yeah, but Dad, that was literally like 30 years ago. Do you know what I mean? 25, 30 years ago. And he couldn't believe what he was watching, the quality of it. He was like, this is amazing. And that's what you need. It's the product, isn't it, Flo? Yes. Like, we were talking about this the other day in the group chat where I was like, the games where you're like 7-0 and they're on telly, it's like, oh my gosh, it's really, really hard to justify that, because you want it to be competitive, because people want the battle, they want to see it. So when you watch it there, he said it was more interesting than the day before. Like, he said, this is definitely a better game.
They both went for it.
My brother texted me similar, because he was watching it with my nieces, my 5-year-old niece, who she thought every single player was me. She was going, that's Artie Gaz. My brother was like, no, it's not. And but she was loving it. And then she was watching the replay of one of the goals. She was like, look, Dad, she goaled it. And I was she did. She Roddy goaled it. She actually goaled that one. But it's true. Like, he was saying he doesn't watch a lot of women's football. And he was like, wow, like, from compared to the last time I probably watched a game, the quality of this, he said exactly the same. The quality of this game has been so good.
Good.
End to end, really good goals, better than the men's final. And I think it's so good as well when you've got like all generations kind of experiencing that as well, whether it's like young kids or like people who watch a lot of football. But at the same time, and I know we were talking about this yesterday in the group chat, Ian, and you were tweeting about it. At the same time, what really annoys me is then you get the halftime show, which is too much rah-rah celebration, inspiring young girls, and not enough football chat. And I feel
give it the analysis it deserves. Yeah, I feel like 100%.
With the WSL coverage on BBC and Sky this season, we've seen really good analysis and big, you know, touchscreen things and all that jazz. But I don't know why the FA Cup, because of the fact it's at Wembley and they're always chasing a record crowd with the tickets and stuff. I feel like they fall into that trap a little bit when they're talking about it. They fall into the trap of inspiring. And I feel like, I don't know when we're going to stop.
That's done. We know it will do it naturally. And the game, and watching a game of that quality and that calibre, will do it. We don't need to carry on talking about it, because it's going to happen. Mm. You can't get, because we need to 100%. Talk about the game as the game, because for me yesterday, and I got a lot of like comments and feedback about, my God, I don't even watch it much, but this is a good game. That is the kind of feedback you want. That's what we should be, that's what they should be searching for, that kind of feedback, because that game was a brilliant advertisement for the women's game, just the quality of the game. So talk about the game. Stop doing this razzmatazz fuckery and this foolishness about like inspiring. It's naturally going to inspire. It will do that. The problem I've got with it is 100%. That if they haven't got things in place after the Euros, if England do well and they are inspired, That's what they should be focusing on, making sure that the girls say, right, I want to play football now next week. And it's there for them. Make sure that happens. Talking about the foolishness.
Yeah. Can I say, yeah, can I? I'm so glad you said this because I really have an issue with people treating it as a kind of like, ooh, look at this curious foreign object, like it's a zoo. Mm. They're not playing in a zoo. These are elite.
It's like an exhibition, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's like an exhibition.
Look at this thing we've discovered. Look at this quaint. No, like three of the five goals in this final were good enough to win any major final.
Yeah.
Any major 100%. Final. You take these goals and put them in any, up from the under 16, up to the senior, up to the World Cup, in any whatever. Any gender, these are goal. The Lauren Hemp's goal, unbelievable. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Goal, forgotten.
Aaron Cuthbert's goal.
Haley Russell. Yes. Of course, but Haley Russell's first touch. Mm. The first touch will be forgotten in time. Mm. It will disappear like tears in rain. This is heartbreaking.
And out muscling someone like Magdalena Eriksson, like she's nothing. What?
No problem. No.
Also, can I say as well for the winning goal? For the winning goal, Sam Kerr smelling it when Alana Kennedy misses that. And she's, you know, you know that thing that Linford Christie say, you go on the B of the bang.
On the B of the bang, bro.
The moment Alana Kennedy.
She went for it.
She was cooked. Yeah, the moment she missed that and missed time, Sam Kerr was like, it's on.
Yeah, but you know what I'm thinking? See the thing with it though, Jeanette, Moose, is that when, as soon as it happened, because you kind of get the vibe that she's going to miss that. And then once you get it, but what I love about Sam Kerr and what you have to understand about that kind of elite striker, she had, I can't remember who it was who was running in the middle. She did not even look over there.
I know, but right, Ian. I'm sorry. I can't remember who it was. But would you not be like, what the fuck?
You know something?
Your deflected shot went in, and I literally had a free shot.
Man
like,
on.
Nothing to
and you think to yourself, you know something? This is when you look at somebody like, Sam Kerr, and you think, oh my God, they're going to score it. She's just going to square it. She didn't even look. Didn't even look, and then it's gone.
Yeah,
then I can't remember who it was in the middle, but she put her hands up as well. It's almost like she was thinking, "I know Sam's not going to get the pass because I know she's going to score." But what I was thinking was, it was.
Do you know, I'm watching it back now.
She's not
look
even
at
looking.
Look at her. She's not even looking. She's just going.
And I
feel bad for Alex Greenwood though, because she defended it quite well. She defended.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah, but the thing about.
But what did you say,
the
Ian?
Suffering is necessary. Because what happens is
the agony.
She can't miss that.
The way that Alex Greenwood defends that situation quite well. She's got her back to goal.
Yep.
She's trying to show Kerr onto the wrong side. And when that ball bounces off her, the agony as she falls to the ground, like she's like someone has stabbed her in the heart.
Yeah.
She's like, it's like Gladiator.
Yes.
Like a scene from Gladiator. I felt
people
that.
People needed to see Flo die.
It was awful. I actually really felt
for her as well
her.
Because she did. She did. Do it again, please. No, Flo, do it again. You know
what? Pain in her chest.
It
man.
Was pain. It was hashtag pain.
Because obviously the mistake in the first place. Literally, it kills her because she's on her own. She's literally trying to give somebody enough time to get back. So she's trying to stop playing that ball across. And she's done it very, very well. But then Sam Kerr, you know?
She did, but here's the thing. What's that song? What's that song? There's the singer song. Where is your crew? That's what I was thinking. She's running through. Her crew. Where's her crew? Alex Greenwood back there.
She's by herself.
Where's her crew? And she's the three or four people cracking back that by the time... The deflection went. I think they'd only just arrived back in the box. And I was like, you cannot expose your people like that. I know it's extra time, their legs were tired. Yeah. And this is the thing I will say to their credit, right? These people were exhausted, which is the Sam Kerr thing. I think Sam Kerr, if you talk about the emblem of Chelsea's season, right? Because people have come at Chelsea this year. They've come at them. In the Cup, City were coming at them. Hardcore, City got them the Conte. Arsenal came in the league. Sam Kerr, at both points, you look at the title decider on the final day, and here again, and both times, and it's not just even her technical ability, which is off the scale, it's the resilience. Mm. Sam Kerr would have played for an extra, she would have played for maybe an extra 20 minutes. And she probably would have played until she'd collapsed physically, the way she was going in this game.
That's heart, man. You need the heart. It's a cup final. And you know what that's like, a cup final, like every ounce, you can't leave anything. You just got to, all of it's got to be on the pitch.
Yes.
Like by the time you walk into that dressing room, you just have to be said, right, I've done everything I could to be able to
do that. If we saw the three goals that we talked about there, like the men's final was just tense simply because of what's on the line
at stake,
for both of the teams. But if those three goals were in that cup final, it would be a classic. It would be classic.
Agreed.
And this is why I'm pleased it happened in the women's final. Mm. Because what they were doing, those players, they were going for it, man. You know, Chelsea now doing the double. City would have kind of rescued their season. But I'm telling you, for Chelsea for next season, especially, I thought they were going to do a lot better in the Champions League this year. But when we're looking at the people in the Champions League, like Barcelona and Lyon, Chelsea, they need a bit more to be able to go back and challenge them two teams. But I'm looking at this Chelsea side with that resilience. Mm. And I'm seeing a Man United 99 resilience that if they get back into that vibe, they're going to be a different kettle of fish.
But I'm not sure the
match
control.
I think it's the match control is going to get them, I think.
Yeah.
They don't control games enough. Yeah, they don't control games enough.
But do you know what?
Does that make sense?
Sometimes, sometimes that's the mark of the teams that are that good. Do you know what I mean? It's like, think about City losing to Real Madrid and how that unraveled. Mm. And, you know, the question of Pep needs big characters or can't work with big characters or whatever.
Mm-mm.
Actually, when I reflect on the whole of Chelsea's season, I don't think they've been as good as they were last year. I don't think the football that they've played has been nearly as good as we've seen from them in the past couple of years. But actually, they've leveled up in terms of mentality.
Yeah.
Consistency, grit, determination, and characters.
And that'll get you over the line
every
time.
You need
a couple of players to that kind of mentality.
That Manchester United thing you mentioned, Ian, that's exactly that. They didn't always play the nicest football.
No.
But they were champions. They were born winners. And that's the difference.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. Things are expensive these days, especially for businesses, from the materials to distribution, borrowing, wages, everything costs more. That's why businesses are making the smart choice and graduating to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. If you want to reduce costs and headaches, this is how you do it. It's never a bad idea to save money. Like right now, we got, summer's coming up. Do you want to go away? Where are you going? Are you renting a place? You doing Airbnb? Going to a hotel? Need a little money for all that stuff. Why not try to save some money now? Over 37,000 companies have already made the switch. Do the math. See how much you'll profit with NetSuite, especially right now, because now through April 15th, NetSuite offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That's netsuite.com/ringer.
I've got to say, just quick, like yesterday, when it was 2-0 to West Ham, obviously I'm not a Liverpool fan. I'm not even going to lie and say I wouldn't want Liverpool to do it because it would be an unbelievable achievement. But I had a kind of like goosebumps, man, when West Ham were 2-0 up. I'm saying, oh my gosh, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Then, you know what? It's really strange because I was in the pub and Dion Dublin was on the other side of the pub. So me and him, I was watching the Women's Cup final and he was watching the Man City West Ham game. So we were giving each other like the updates. And he was going, 2-0 West Ham. I said, oh my God. Oh my God. And then I said, it's not going to end up. No. I said, how long left? I'm sure he said half an hour or something like that. And then Jack Grealish scored. And when Jack Grealish scored, I thought, well, that's it. And
that
then fourth, obviously
that
they.
Fourth, 5 minutes in the second half, yeah.
Yes, then they scored. And then I thought to myself, gosh, for a bit there, I think, oh my God, Liverpool are going to do the quadruple.
It would be nice.
Listen to her, look.
But it's very hard. Let's be honest. It's very hard. We've been spoiled. We're talking about a quadruple. How hard that is. We've been spoiled. Like, that should never even be a thing.
Jeanette, four, you're looking at the team now. Four. You're looking at the team and Liverpool's players, especially like watching them in that final. They're on fumes. They are playing on fumes. They're
so tired.
Like, you know, Mo's gone down. Van Dijk has to be gone. You know, they are tired. And what's happening now is, it's purely down to mental strength. This is where we are now. Mm-hmm. And this is what the elite, this is why Real Madrid, bro. Real Madrid and these teams, you have to look at them and say, where have you found that? Where have you found that? This is what Liverpool, Liverpool do this, I'm sorry, it's going to be one of the greatest things ever. Easily.
100%. 100%. If they do it, okay, because we can go on to the FA Cup final in a moment, but if Liverpool were to do it,
it's the best.
Where does that rank? Like, how do you then see that team in the history of football, like, ever? Like, in English football, like, where does that rank?
They've got to be the best for what they've done.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing, to win everything, it's not just, it doesn't just come, because remember what you need to try and do. I remember when the double was something that was like unreachable. Oh my God, they've done the double, you know? Then Man United have done the treble. They are going for a quadruple. And it doesn't come down to just how well you play. You need luck. You need luck with, like, the way you play. You need luck with injuries. You need luck with blocks. You need luck with deflected goals. You need so much luck just for things to go in your favour to get to win them all. And this is what happened. We saw it with Man United, with Bayern Munich.
And here's the thing. God. You will have beaten... The reason why it will be the best, and I say this as a Manchester United fan, the reason why it will be the best is because you will have beaten the best coaches in their best habitats. You'll beat Tuchel in two cup finals. Jeez. Tuchel in two cup finals with that mind that adjusts to everything. Beating Ancelotti's Real Madrid in the Champions League. That's wild. You're beating Guardiola's City in the league.
It has
Man City
to be the best.
To do
it
one
has
of
to
those
be the best.
Things.
And all you know, four. When you say that, Moose, come on, man.
Come on, all four.
And like people will say, level. Yeah, but honestly, yeah, Jeanette, when you say it like that,
oh my days.
And being... Like going for, like when you're in a tournament, like the FA Cup and you're going on that run, whether it's the Cup Winners' Cup, when you're going on that cup run, whether it's the league, you get physically and mentally exhausted because you're living it every minute of the day. Mm. You know, you're living it every minute of the day because all you're thinking about is, we've got to do this. We've got to make sure we win this game because they've got to now play Southampton. They have to win it.
I can't believe we're now... coming to the last day of the season.
I know.
It's weird. I feel like we had so long left to go and now it's like, it's right, bam, right, one day when it takes all. And you're like, oh, what?
Who's going down quickly?
Leeds.
Leeds, yeah. It's got to be Leeds,
Leeds,
I think.
100%, yeah, how Leeds
awful,
got to go.
How awful that it's come to that.
Moose. I know.
Moose
is
so
awful.
Yeah. Awful.
But so
you know, I'll be devastated if Leeds go. I'll be devastated if Everton go. You know, people are saying, oh, we want Burnley to go. I'd be devastated if Burnley went, because when it gets to this stage, you know what it means to those clubs and it means to the people behind the scenes. You know what's going to happen. This is why I feel, to a certain extent, for Everton, even though Ivan Toney feels differently towards him this morning, but that's a whole other story that I'm sure we're going to have to speak about at some stage. But for them not to get that penalty with Richarlison, for me, who was complaining about Richarlison going down so easy to the point where I was in the stands and he was driving me crazy. Has his histrionics in going down in the past cost Everton yesterday? Because that's a penalty on his shirt. That's pulling him. That's a penalty. And it's Richard. Why hasn't he gone down in that instant when you see him go down for so much less in the past? How has he not gone down? Because Frank's saying that, you know, yeah, my players have been slaughtered for going down and this and that. And, you know, we're trying to get Richarlison to stay up. Richarlison should have got a penalty yesterday. And I believe his reputation stops him from getting that penalty. I really do. And that might cost Everton.
That's why then.
That might cost Everton.
Do you think they'll go down?
They've got Arsenal in the last game of the season. Arsenal going to need to win that.
They have to win that. Arsenal need to win that.
And those things cost teams. That decision with VAR and the referee, in fact, looking straight at Richarlison's shirt being tugged. And we're not talking about a little tug. It was pulled. He was staying up trying to do what he's doing. The referee on the pitch should be giving that because he can see that. And that could cost them. You could see it in Frank's face. There was a resignation. There's a resignation in Frank's face yesterday where he didn't know what more to say. But he knows that he needed that. Because then he said, that's 2-0. They end up probably not getting 10, going down to 10 men. It's a whole different game.
And you know what? I know Sean Dyche, while he was at Burnley, was constantly going on about not getting penalties. But with the way in which Burnley were taken over by their new US owners, if they get relegated, that could really, really put pressure on the future of that football club because they've got loans
massive.
That need to be repaid. They've got debt that is very high. Like, Ian, you're right. Like,
these are the things.
People's
it's not good.
Futures
I don't
at stake,
think Burnley
right?
are going to go down. Yeah, I don't think Burnley will go down.
They'll be all right.
Burnley are like Teflon. I feel like they always, even if in that final moment you think they're going to go down, they'll stay up. I think it's going to be Leeds that go down. This is me, big chest. I don't know, but I think it's going to be Leeds, which is fair. And if they do go down, if Leeds do go down, was sacking Bielsa a mistake then?
Can I say something that's going to be, oh my God, I'm going to throw something in. I think they should have got rid of him earlier. Given somebody time okay. to really change.
It would have saved because some time for Jesse to really Marsh, go for it.
If you're going to sack someone, do it early.
Simply because whether it's Jesse Marsh, whoever it is, they needed time to be able to really get that team playing in a different style.
And the recruitment. When I've been looking at what fans have been saying on Twitter and writing about, and I think the fans are really disappointed in the recruitment more than anything. I don't think they blame Bielsa and I don't think they blame Marsh. They say this squad is not big enough. They've been worked too hard over the last 3 years. They're falling apart at the seams. And there wasn't enough brought in the summer and January to support the players that desperately need supporting.
Bielsa has to get love for what he'd done for Leeds. But it does come to a time where somebody has to make that decision.
But they became over-reliant on the genius. This is the problem. It's what Manchester United did. They had Ferguson managing out of his mind. They won the league in that, was that the year? 2011, I think it was. They won that league title and I'm like, they really shuffled, 2008, 2009, they won the league title. And they shuffled around a lot of pieces and were really impressive. But they, Ferguson was really, really managing well. And I just think that with Bielsa, it was kind of an excuse not to invest. Because he was managing players the very edge of their potential, if that makes sense.
Yes,
right?
It does. Yes,
but
it does.
Everyone could tell you. The sad thing is, the criticisms everyone's making about Leeds in terms of recruitment flow, we said this before, recruitment, Bielsa, like physically it's demanding, they need a bigger squad. These are things people were saying a year and a half ago. We shouldn't be here. Leeds should be safely, they should be safely in like mid-table, low mid-table by now.
And let's face it.
They should be safe. They should
I don't
be
want
safe,
to go with big club kind of bias and snobbery, but Leeds need to be in the Premier League. I think Leeds need to be in the Premier League.
Definitely.
Yes, they do.
They make the and Premier League really exciting, shame. Actually, as a club.
It's a shame because,
the fans, the
again,
lot, the whole
like,
thing. It's just
what
you've
done for them was amazing, but they've done that earlier. They should have done it earlier.
And how do you guys feel then, looking at the Championship playoffs really quickly, would you like Forest to come up to kind of complete the historical cycle
it'd
of
be
big
nice
clubs
for Forest,
being in the
I
big
think.
Leagues?
Yeah. It'd be nice for Forest to come up, for sure.
I watched that again the other day. I believe in miracles. It is... if anyone hasn't seen it, please watch, because it should be called I Believe in Fucking Miracles, Man. What Forrest done?
I believe in miracles. Open brackets. I believe in miracles. Fucking hell, man. Miracles. Close brackets.
Fuck me, man. Because it's amazing. They come up. They win. They win the league and then they win the Champions League or Europe twice.
Mad.
On that note, bro.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Come back home,
Forrest, as well. The thing about a quick shout on the playoffs for Steve Cooper. We've mentioned this before, but that job he did with the under-17 England World Cup squad, because he won it obviously with them. I look at the players that he managed: Hudson-Odoi, Mark Gahey, like Conor Gallagher,
Foden, all of them, Foden, Emma Smith Rowe, everybody,
and the
all
way he's brought them through. And the careers they've got, like they've actually done, like they've developed well. And that is done, that is due to so much of his impetus. And the fact that he's at Forest now, you know, like we're talking about Postecoglou on Stadio, about Ange Postecoglou has been brilliant every club he's been at. You look at Steve Cooper and everywhere he's been, Liverpool Academy, look at them now, they're flying. Like everywhere this man has been, his hand has been in everything. So I'd be really excited to see him coaching in the Premier League. Obviously Forest, the story is a great story of them having in the Premier League. That's great for Forest. But Steve Cooper coaching the Premier League as a...
Brilliant.
I'd love to see that.
Brilliant.
Like as a primary coach.
Oh my God.
Incredible. Love that.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
So can I just quickly just give a story about if I cut final men's? Okay, so got my husband last minute tickets, 3 tickets to go, right?
Wow, you've done well.
Well, I mean, it's by force. I'm having to beg, steal and borrow, ask bare favors. Anyway, the plan was he was going to take my son, he was going to go, and a friend. They were going to go, 3 of them, right? So my son's a Chelsea fan, as everybody knows on the pod, and bless his little heart, they would have had to have sat in the Liverpool end. So I just thought, this might be a little bit hostile for my son. I'm not sure. So anyway, Saturday afternoon, husband comes, says to the little boy, like, getting ready, getting him excited. And I said to my son Kylie, I said, you're going to have to sit in the Liverpool end. And his little face was like, he wasn't sure. So then he got a bit upset. And in the end, he actually didn't go because he felt like it was going to be a bit too much. Like, daddy's going to be with his Liverpool friends. And he just thought, nah. And saying that, my husband went, he said, actually, him not going was probably the best thing because they were up there in the terraces with the proper fans. And he just thought, you know what? It would have made sense. Even my husband said he got to like the section he was meant to be sitting in. There was Liverpool fans in his seat. He says, bro, what are you doing? He goes, no, that's how we do it up here. He said, nah, man, move from my
seat. Did he get his seat?
Of course he got his seat. My husband said, move, man. Move. Get up, man. Like, what are you
doing?
That's
how they do it.
That's how they do it. So I just actually thought to myself, I know, like, when you get two sides like that in Wembley, like, the heat, the tension, I just thought for a six-year-old, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's a good call. But at the same time, it was a good game to watch. Like, he did watch it at home. He's kind of watching the highlights. He's like, okay, he got it. But for my son, he was like, nah, yeah, mummy, I didn't want to go. It was it would have been too much.
I thought it was a very good nil-nil.
Yeah.
It was a very good nil-nil.
It's a good nil-nil.
It's very tough because like I've done it for ITV. And what I was trying to explain to people is that you get to this stage of the season, it's like what Man United did in 99. Is that they get to a certain stage where you think, you know something, I wouldn't mind seeing them do this special thing because it's amazing thing. Look when they done it. It's not been done since. You know what I mean? Apart from Real Madrid in Spain. But the fact is that Liverpool on this run where I'm thinking, I would like to see them do it. I'd like to see them do it under this manager who, when you look at how Klopp came to Liverpool and how they sought him out, how he's made his signings, how he's turned the team around, how I remember the first season, he couldn't get his head around like the Christmas period. And, you know what I mean? All that sort of stuff. Then obviously he started to get it going and then bam, what is it? 4 years in and then bam, they're just that team.
Yeah.
So they've got to this point in this cup final, but they look exhausted. Mm.
The last 2 years have really taken their toll, right? Because, I mean, Jeanette and Ian as well, you probably feel the same, like travelling to games and covering games and stuff like that. It's like ever since football came back, Project Restart, June 2020, it's been back to back to back to back.
Relentless.
So if I feel exhausted covering it, the players physically and mentally, they must be spent.
That's a lot.
And then with ending the season, they've got they've got Nations League in June, so they haven't got any time off. And then season starts again in August, and then they've got a World Cup in December. I mean, it's mad.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, when they look back at that game and the way Liverpool started that game like a team that knows that they are going to tire. They really blasted out and then Luis Diaz and Chelsea had chances in that game, right?
Lukaku had some chances. Alonso.
Those chances, this is what I'm saying, Liverpool, Madrid take those chances.
Yeah.
Madrid take those chances because I watched it and I thought, Pulisic, it comes across, you can't miss the goal. Mm. Lukaku, with the limited amount of touches and play he had, when you're going into a FA Cup final, all you're hoping for is the one decent chance where I just get to get a clean shot. Mm-hmm. Right, that's what you're thinking. It might not go for me in respect of everything else, but that's the chance. What Lukaku hit over the bar, he's supposed to hit the target of that.
Yeah.
And the same with the pass. People talk about Alonso and the save from Alonso. The pass from Pulisic to Alonso was too hard. Because if you watch it, Alonso had to stretch to try and get the touch. And that's when I always talk to you guys about The goalkeeper's looking for the bad touch. Mm. And then Alisson was in his face. He's supposed to lay that into him like Jack Grealish laid one into Raheem Sterling the other week to just come onto it and bang. Because you're so close to the goal, you don't play that so he has to have a touch. You play it into his path, comes onto his left foot, and he just hits it in the goal. Mm. When they miss those, I said, you know something? I just can't see them winning if they're missing chances like that. Because you're not going to get too many. And they got three unbelievable chances.
Really excellent chances. I would say as well, the chance as well, the one slight concern. And so Trent Alexander-Arnold, defensively, I think has been really, really strong the last few weeks, actually. It's funny, ever since, I was saying to Ryan, ever since like a large part of football Twitter were like, he can't defend, he's actually been really, really good.
He can't defend.
But one thing I will say is the two of the best opportunities came to Alonso on his flank. That is a slight concern. And I wonder, like, you're going to see the Champions League final, who's going to be attacking that gap? Someone like Vinicius? That's a dangerous matchup. Vinicius trying to get in those gaps behind Trent, because Trent is, you know, he's a very good defender still, but he is also a primary playmaker. He was excellent. And I sometimes worry if the strength of Liverpool is going to be the weakness in that final. Like the building out from the back, they're going to target that man with the speed and the trickery. So we'll see, I think.
It's going to be such a good final.
You saw how Madrid played against City. Mm-hmm. Madrid ain't got no problem in just taking licks.
None.
They'll take the licks because they...
None.
Taking licks. They'll take a beating because they know that they've got like Vinny, they've got Benzema.
Do you know what it's
they've
like?
They've got quality, they've got Modric. They know that they're going to.
Frightening.
They're the bear. They're the bear going for the honey and the bees are coming at it. They're like, no, I don't care if you sting me because I'm coming.
I don't I know what's sting me. I'm still coming.
It's not even going to penetrate. Yes. Like, we
doesn't
just
care.
Know.
That is you can sting
this is what I worry about Liverpool.
Do what you need to do. Oh, wow.
This is the thing with Liverpool. And if Liverpool, I know I can't see City dropping, even though it's so close against West Ham. Even if City did drop and Liverpool won the Premier League, against Madrid, I'm watching this game thinking they can't give Madrid these chances.
No way.
They can't give them these
But then Klopp
chances.
Will be the same. Klopp will, you'll watch that back and think, right, where are the holes here? Regardless of the win via penalties or whatever, he'll look and say, where were the holes in that game? And how are we going to make sure that in the final, that's not going to happen? Like he has
Van
to.
Van Dijk has to play. He Van Dijk has to play. I can't, you know, as much as even Matic came on and, you know, made some really good challenges, you know, looked really good. I just think that they've got to start that game with their main guys, because even if they do and they start as quickly as they did against Chelsea were able to take those punches. They took those punches, and a more ruthless Chelsea probably beat Liverpool.
Absolutely right.
You know,
and I know Chelsea have had a big problem on and off. I know Chelsea have had the sanctions. But like we said, like the combination of strikers and forwards that Chelsea have are so many ill-fitting parts. And we're going to be having, I feel like we're going to have a conversation about the ill-fitting front three of Chelsea for the next 10 years. Mm. I don't know how you spend that much money on that many forwards and just have so few of them reliably fit together. Isn't it wild?
Yeah.
If you think about all the forwards they have, there's other coaches. Right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Mm. Really bad.
Especially when you look at how Liverpool have put their forwards together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, bam, it's clockwork. You know, I think that I'd still have, as much as I love Lukaku, if Havertz was fit, I'm starting Havertz, Werner and Mount.
Yes.
What's that about?
I like
though,
that three.
Unks, like, what's that about? What? If you've got like a forward line like that and they're just not gelling together, at what point as a manager do you say, okay, this needs to change? Or do you just try and force it? Like, what? I don't get it. If you can clearly see it's not working.
It's not, no. And because I think that with Havertz, Werner and Mount, they're so different. Mm. But Havertz is the one that kind of makes it work-ish because he's the one with the ability to do something else. You know, he can do more, whether it's on the ground, whether it's in the air, heading. And then you've got the pace of Werner, and then you've got the kind of industry and even the finishing ability of someone like Mason Mount. And it's enough chaos between them three where you just have to say to yourself, Jeanette, I'm going to go with them because I feel like they will be the ones that can do something rather than go with maybe Romelu, who we know is going to be up there, but can we depend on him enough? Mm. Is it going to work? Is he going to be able to, if Timo Werner's gone, if Mason Mount's linking with him, is he going to be able to hold it, to link it to Mount, to then get it to Werner? That's something that can break down and not work for you. And against those teams, they'll use that to then win the ball off of you and then attack you. So you need to have the three that's not only going to attack the team, but they're going to be able to look after the ball enough and make that transition work so it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't use Timo Werner more, though, I have to say. I wonder if
I'm surprised as well.
I wonder if Klopp
is he injured?
Like,
oh. He's not injured, is he?
Just on the bench.
There's no way that Klopp would not have been afraid of him in that channel. Because whatever
pace,
we say about
pace.
Timo Werner. Yes, yes, Flo. Yeah. In that channel, with Trent having the responsibility he's got for creating as well, that probably is where there's no way Ancelotti's not going to target that side. There's no way. It's with this, with Vinny Jr. There's no way, because that is a place where you can get space, because there's someone's going to vacate it because they're going to be creating.
My one criticism of Tuchel is that I thought he was risk averse. And I think that's the one criticism I'll ever have of Chelsea. I think he's absolutely brilliant as a coach. But if you think about Chelsea and the way they're set up, it seems like so much of it is safety first. From the wing-back system, the three centre-backs and all of that.
But he didn't... But what's weird, Moussa, it didn't used to be like that. Mm. Think about him in the early days there. He was ruthless. He bought Callum Hudson-Odoi on and then subbed him off about 30 minutes later. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
There has been a bit of a shift, hasn't there? You're right, actually.
The total tactician, the master of his craft at watching a game and solving problems.
Is he overthinking now?
I don't know. I don't know. Mm. Moussa, what do you think? But I personally feel like it's shifted entirely and now he's almost like too scared to make big changes.
How many finals has he lost now?
Two on penalties this season, but he's not losing them by much. I mean, it's not like he's not bottling it. It's more like because he couldn't get the goals up front, because he can't get the team to hammer teams and like really open up and beat elite teams with the goals. I think he's like, okay, look, defensive solidity and then like nick a goal here and there or construct a goal. Because even the midfield they started with, when I saw a midfield starting, and I don't see Kante and Kovacic starting, I'm like, you're conceding this. You're not, because Kante and Kovacic to me is the best combination of Chelsea midfield. And here's the thing, some might say, oh, Kante wasn't fully fit, but still, like, he came on and played an hour in the end, right? So he did play, a substantial amount. Yeah. So we know it's going to be a tight game, so Kante's not having to, like, do the most, like, sprinting about. And that midfield configuration, Kante-Kovacic, is just, it forces the issue. You know, you put Jorginho Kovacic in a midfield and you invite pressure. And that's my one criticism I would say of Tuchel here. It's almost like it's slightly too reactive at this point.
Because when you've got someone like Thiago, right, popping up in places, you do need to smother that. You need to have, whether it's Kante or whoever, Jorginho can't get close enough to someone like him when he pops in. You need to keep him on his toes simply because if he gets time in any pocket of space, he's got the ability to and he's got the runners as well, to literally hurt you with that pass. That's the thing. And again, I go to Madrid and see, I'm so fascinated to see how they're going to deal with Liverpool's threats. How they're going to deal with it. Because again, I thought that the first 20 minutes, half an hour of the game, I thought that Thiago was somebody that was popping up in places. What are you doing here? Chelsea, who's taking care of this guy? This is a dangerous man.
Hot take.
Who's taking care of him?
I reckon they're pressed. Do you know why?
They have to.
Madrid have got nothing to lose. They won the league they've been playing in reserve, right? So 2 hours of like actually press, because we've seen them actually under actually press really quite impressively. I reckon they go after him, actually. They go after him because he's the base of that.
There's nothing to lose. Go for it.
This is a test if you're going for this kind of like history making, unbelievable stuff. What they're trying to do, Liverpool, the quadruple. You know what I mean?
But what do they do? Like looking ahead, obviously, to the final weekend of the Premier League. What do they do now? Because obviously it's in City's hands, and on the horizon is potentially a bigger win in the Champions League, depending how you weigh up the two.
You have to go all
in. What do you do? Because these guys are running on fumes right now. Like, how do you manage that squad?
You have to run on more fumes. You've got to find more fumes.
More fumes.
You're gonna have to go hybrid, electric, solar, something.
But the thing is, they started in the final, right? As like a team that know let's get this done as early as we can. Mm. And then if we have to drop back and just, then we'll do that. And then when they don't score, like I say, Chelsea had the opportunity to punish them, but they didn't do it. So Liverpool, they're that boxer that's coming out like saying, you know something, I can't do more than six. Yeah, I can't do more than six. I have to knock them out before six rounds. I get that. Yeah. I get that vibe from them at the minute. And we can see it the way that the players are going down.
They're
tired. And so they're going for teams. And if they can score in those in that early period, fine. And then the other team has to come out. And then they might get space to get more. But if they don't score in that early period, that 20 minutes or so, then all of a sudden, like we saw with Chelsea, they start to come into it. And then they create chances. You know, and then obviously Alisson's saved them a couple of times. Oh, it's just bad finishing. That is where Liverpool are now. They are fucking hanging on.
They're tired,
bro.
I think they're lucky. I think they're lucky. I think Liverpool are lucky. They're lucky that they have such a competitive end to the season, because you need to be battle hardened when you face Madrid. And they're also lucky because Madrid actually close better than they open. Mm. So this actually suits Liverpool. If Liverpool fly out to a lead in the final, you need to get far enough ahead that Madrid can't come back on you. Mm. You need to get a 2-goal lead and shut up shop. And then, because you know the storm is coming.
Do you know?
So you look out on the prairie and you see the cloud approach.
You know when they went to extra time and into pens? I know Klopp was just thinking, for God's sake, like that that extra half an hour of extra time and then pen, like the emotional energy. He's just thinking, for God's sake, if they'd got it done in 90 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. It would have been perfect. But you know what?
We've got to end on a positive for Liverpool with whatever their plan is and whatever, you know what I mean, after they start to try and finish it early enough. Klopp getting the FA Cup and then that's it. He's won the lot here. He's done it.
He's done
the
it
FA
all.
Cup
Has
was
done
the one
that
was missing. He's done it all. He's won all the trophies with Liverpool. It's an amazing achievement. And he's done it with a team and the way that they've brought in, like, the players that fit in with that team, and then the players that are already there welcoming them in, and then them all moving together to do it. That's why we're talking about doing the quadruple and how tough it is. You know, they have to get so much credit for what they've done this season, because they could have easily have lost that game on penalties there, right? And then all they'll have is like the League Cup. You know, if they lose, then they lose the Premier League. Then, God forbid, they lose the Champions League. They end up with a season, what promised so much. They could have had the League Cup. In the end, they've won the FA Cup. You know what I mean? It's not over in the league, and they've got to play Real Madrid. And Klopp, man's got the lot.
It's amazing. There. I'm so jealous, man. You look at a manager like that, you just get envy. You just think, oh, it's everything about him, the look, the vibe, the energy. It's just like, come on, man.
You can't not love Klopp, man. And
just
that's
jealous.
Why.
I know.
I'm not jealous.
Are you not?
I've had my fun. No, not at all.
What Klopp and how nice Klopp is and the team he's built, he has to get pure love.
I love him.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's it, man. So thank you very much to Jeanette. Thank you very much, Musa. Thank you very much to Florence Lloyd Hughes. Hopefully, my team will have done brilliantly and we'll be in fourth place. And I'll be happy. But if that doesn't happen, I won't be happy. But I hope you'll be happy. That's enough happy talk. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.